I'm going to pull something out of here, and I want you to tell me not what it is, but what kind of tree it comes from. Got it? Think you can do it? This one's going to be easy. Apple tree. Why did you know that?
It's an apple.
Good.
See, I knew this was going to be easy for you.
Okay, ready?
Orange.
Wow, we got a, we got somebody who wants the prize. You can have this orange apple. All right, good. It came from an orange tree. You're all really good at this. Banana. Last night, Katie, is it called banana tree? Do we call it banana tree? It is, right? Banana tree, it is. Okay. Alright. This one's probably gonna be the hardest one. What is that? It's a lollipop.
A lollipop.
There's no lollipop tree? Okay. Sucker. So there are suckers. So I brought this one out because even as a boy, there was a song that I had heard called The Lollipop Tree. I heard it from a band called the Irish Rovers singing kids' songs. And this child goes and takes a lollipop stick and plants it in the ground, expecting to get what? A lollipop tree. And in fact, that had happened, except the story breaks down because later on in the winter, there's icicles, and then they turn into snow cones. And that doesn't work, so... So I bring that up, and it's kind of silly because I could take that illustration to you, and you would say, yes, of course. You held an apple, it's from an apple tree. You held an orange, it's from an orange tree. You held a banana, from a banana tree. You held up a lollipop, okay, I'll go along with it, from a lollipop tree. It is easy in this to go, I get the fruit illustration, but this is where it gets difficult. When we listen to Jesus' words, and then we apply that spiritually to what he's trying to demonstrate in the kingdom, it'll be very difficult for us to keep nodding our heads and say, I understand that. And this is the reason. Is because we have become consumed in the church by saying that if somebody says the magical words prayer, then they are a believer. If you say a sinner's prayer and you've said the word, then you are suddenly in the kingdom, and that's not what happens. It is not that you maybe even came to an altar or that you it's not because you said some words. If you go to people and you say, why are you a Christian? You say, well, because I said a prayer. That is not what Jesus says. And in churches I've been in, I say, why are you a Christian? They'll tell me things like, I've been to church all my life. My dad was the preacher. My grandpa started the church. That does not make us a believer. That's not what Jesus says. And if we perpetuate that, we perpetuate a very dangerous situation where we give people the confidence that because they said a prayer, you are a Christian, and therefore you are set, whereby they may actually be living a lie because nothing actually happened. Now, I'm not saying that if you said a prayer, it wasn't genuine. I'm not saying that if you grew up going to church all your life, that you're not a genuine believer, or that if your dad was the preacher, your grandpa started the church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if that is what you're basing it on, it's not the criteria. There was a man who came to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was more pious and religious and good at doing works than all of us put together because he was a Pharisee. He was really good at it. And he came to Jesus in the darkness of night, and he's asking him, how do I enter in? You know what would have been really convenient of Jesus? Is if Jesus would have said, just say the prayer. Is that what Jesus said? He did not. What Jesus says and I'm going to read it. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus, through Luke, has been demonstrating the kingdom of God. And how does one go from the dominion of darkness into being within the kingdom of God? And Jesus tells Nicodemus, this guy who has done better than any of us in this church, he says, unless you are born again, you cannot see, you cannot enter, you cannot be a part of this kingdom. You must be born again. Nicodemus, like any of us who would have heard that from the first time, we've heard it so much, born again Christian. We're like, yeah, I'm born again. This is the first time anybody's ever said that. And Nicodemus, like any of us would, thinking it has to be upon the criteria of what I have done, says to Jesus, how can that be? How can I get back into my mother's womb? Because physically that don't make sense. This is what Jesus says. He doesn't say, pray the prayer. He doesn't say, keep doing your good works or going to church. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. What he's saying to him is, this isn't something you can force. This is something that the Spirit of God has to initiate and accomplish in you. That's why in the book of Titus it says, it is a work of the Spirit, and his word is regeneration and renewal in us. It is the work of God which comes upon us and has to do an absolute change in the heart of a person to take them from one who was dead and cannot do anything for themselves into one who is made alive by the work of God in their hearts. Amen. They must be born again by the Spirit of God. We don't understand how it goes. The wind goes, we don't understand it, we see its effects. And the same thing by one who has been born again by the Spirit of God. And in that moment, as the Lord moves and a person's heart is affected, they would then maybe pray a prayer and say, God, I confess. I call upon you to forgive me. I recognize what you're doing in my heart, and I plead your forgiveness. It wasn't the words that made the magic. It was the work of God that took a sinner and begins to regenerate and declare righteous and justification and to do the work of being born again and taking that person and making them part of the kingdom, giving that person eternal life, and taking that person and making them a new creation so that they are no longer a bad tree. And if we hear these things and say, you know what, I'm not so sure, preacher, what should we do? Should we trust Jason's words? Let's look at Jesus' words. Let's look at what Jesus says about what is the evidence that somebody is saved. Is it because they said a prayer? Is it because they've done all these things? As I said, Jesus preaches this one, a sermon on the plain, and there's a sermon on the mount, and you know, they're very similar. I don't know if they're exactly the same sermon, but in Matthew chapter 7, as part of that sermon, he's also talking about similar. He's talking about false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing. But he says, inward, they're ravenous wolves. And then he says this, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. And then he goes on and says this, verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Don't take Jason's word for it. Take Jesus's, who said that if something has occurred in a person, you should be able to recognize their fruits. Now, what Jason is not saying and what Jesus is not saying is that if you're doing works, that is what saved you. Please don't hear that, because it is very clear in the scripture. You see it all over Ephesians chapter 2. It is grace, not by works, so that no one can boast. However, while it's not works that we have done that earn us salvation, it is works that occur after our salvation that prove that God did a work in us to start. Yes. It is the evidence that somebody is truly a person of God, that they are born again. How do you know if they're born again? You will see fruit. And Jesus says here, you will know them by their fruit. Not everyone on that day will enter. They'll say to me, Lord, Lord. Emphasis there. It's very good to call Jesus Lord. It's amazing to call him Lord, Lord. I'm telling you, you're supreme. Didn't I do miracles, cast out demons, all these things in your name? It's some of the most frightening words of all of Scripture when Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. That work was never done in you. You were doing things, and yet you were empty. You were never changed. You were never born again. You were not a believer. And as a result, depart from me. That's frightening. It's frightening that in this very room, we might have convinced ourselves that if we said the prayer and we went to the church and we helped out with the youth and we did all these things, that then you are a believer. But unless God did that work in you and created a new person, born again, it's not true. But didn't I do the works? Somebody who is saved by Jesus, the works will look like Jesus. And what are the works of Jesus? Philippians chapter 2 says, our attitude should be like his. He became nothing. He was humble. And he had absolute selfless unto death love for us. We should look like Jesus in that way. Humble, selfless, loving people that demonstrates throughout the world, not to earn us salvation, but because he saved us, that is how we work. And it brings glory to his Father. In fact, this is why he tells his disciples in John chapter 15, when he's talking about the vine dresser, and that we are branches in those things. He says to his disciples, John 15, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. What should that fruit look like? Well, we've already talked about it. If Jesus is the vine and it's grapes, then we should look like grapes. We look like Jesus. It comes out in selfless love. Jesus talked about in the passage that we're in Luke, that as a result of this, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. One of the initial ways to see that if fruit is coming out of a person and demonstrating and proving whether they are in Christ or not in Christ is listen to their mouth. We come to church, we hear the sermon, we sing the song, and we've praised God, and then we go home. And then what do we speak to our spouse? How do we speak to our children? How do we speak to the people who work for us, the people on the road who cut us off? How do we speak about our politicians? What is coming out of our mouth? Is it words like Jesus? I don't know that everybody knows this, but I have a super special skill. I'm really good at ironing. Did you know that? I like to iron, and if my mom's listening this morning, she taught me to iron, so thank you, Mom. And so I like to iron. I like to iron. I iron my shirts, usually Sunday mornings, maybe Saturday nights, but usually Sunday mornings. And this is not, don't hold this against Katie. She's not saying, iron your own shirt. I'm like, I will iron. Love it. So I got up this morning to iron my shirt. And I go to iron, it's not working. Like, I'm pretty sure that's not a me problem. I've been doing this for years. I'm skilled at this. I'm great at ironing. And realize that there's a short in the wire. And so the reality was, I had taken the iron out of the cupboard. I had set up the ironing board. I had put down my shirt, and I began putting the iron over my clothes. I was squirting it with water, and I was going over, and there was nothing was happening. My iron was not an iron at that point. It had the name. It was doing the actions. But the internals were broken. There was no power working in and through that piece of equipment. So now this thing that called itself an iron and was doing ironing actions actually was not an iron. An iron should have iron fruit. It should have make crisp clothes. It was not happening. A person who is born again should have born again fruit. Otherwise, we're just doing the actions. And we're singing the songs. And that brings no glory to the Father. And it can have devastating effects when one day you stand before the judge and he says, you did all that ironing, but I don't know you. There may be some, even in this room, they say, Jason, you're being kind of harsh. Isn't this a little extreme? You might make people feel bad. My responsibility as a preacher is not to make you feel good or to make you feel bad. My responsibility is to highlight Jesus and his word and tell you the truth. And if you're getting angry at me, you go talk to Jesus. Because I would rather you be, I almost said something I probably shouldn't say, mad at me and hear the gospel come to faith than for us to keep doing this ironing dance if that's what's happening. It's got to be true. And then if God has done that work and he has saved you, then out from you, this new good tree, one who was bad, but he has completely yanked out that bad. And he's established a good tree that you will begin to live and look like Jesus. You will love like Jesus. You will be impassioned for his Father like Jesus was. You will desire the Spirit's work in and through you. You will want to seek the kingdom of God. You will want to love on other people in lavish and forgiving and selfless ways. It'll just come out of you because that's what happens. The fruit comes. And if I was to hold you up like a piece of fruit and somebody saw you, would they say, that is Jesus fruit that comes from a Jesus tree? Or if I held it up, would somebody say, that is a religious fruit that comes from a religious tree? Do you see the difference? They could be two totally different things. There's an old preacher, evangelist, one of the Wesley brothers, who had been ordained, gone to Oxford, and came over to do ministry in America. And he came over to America where he was going to convert people, and realized while he was here and he was reading Martin Luther's intro to Romans that he wasn't a believer. Here he was doing all the ministry things, and then he finally realized that I was doing all this work, I was doing the ironing, and I did not know Christ. And so it's from the pulpit to the smallest child in the church, that from the oldest to the whatever, all of us have to come to this point of going, is it true? Has God done a work in my heart? And if not, plead that he does. Nicodemus stood there with Jesus that night, and Jesus didn't say, just say the prayer. He said, you must be born again. And he goes on and tells that great moment, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He's standing in front of Nicodemus, not even knowing about the cross yet, and he's saying, he gave me so that you would not perish but have eternal life. And what's neat about Nicodemus, something happened in his heart. And out of him begins to come Jesus fruit. Later on in the book, when others are down on Jesus within the council and the other Pharisees, he stands up and defends him. And then later on, after Jesus is crucified on the cross, everybody else has gone home. He goes along with Joseph of Arimathea. These two guys go, and they take Jesus down from the cross. And Nicodemus lovingly cares for the dead body of his Savior. Jesus fruit. Friends, this morning, if the Lord is coming after you, don't just say the prayer and be, I did it. Go to Jesus and say, is this a work you're doing in my heart? Then I will pray to you. And I will submit to you. And I will follow you. And I will be a tree that has been planted as a good tree. And then prove in me what you have done. Out of me bring good Jesus fruit. Prune me. Help me. Let my fruit glorify my Father. He wasn't our Father before. But that's one of the benefits, is that we become adopted. You might say, well, gosh, Jason, you say it's all fruit, but I see sin in my life. I still do naughty things. I still, on occasion, deal with this, or there's this thing. Hey, if you're seeing that and God is convicting you, be grateful. You know why? That's what he does in his kids. He's a good father who is now, by his Spirit, assisting you in recognizing there's things that don't look like Jesus in your life, and he wants to help you deal with those. And before you were a believer, you had all this garbage, and you didn't even see it. You just did it. And then, when you become born again, and you're dealing with sin, we have this sinful flesh, and he's working this work of sanctification to make you look more like Christ. What he does is he makes you more sensitive to the sin that's in your life. So if you're seeing that, be grateful. It's evidence that he's working in and through you. That doesn't mean continue in your sin. It means that we plead for him by his Spirit and the work that he's doing by his word to transform us by the renewing of our mind and to continue to make us more like Christ. And so if you're seeing sin, just like Jesus, go and sin no more. But that's actually evidence that you have a Father who loves you. He's going to discipline you. He's going to prune you. He's going to continue to make you look like Jesus. And to God be the glory. This morning, I don't want to discourage you. I don't want you to think like, well, I've heard the good news of the gospel. I recognize God's doing something in my life, but I better not say a prayer because Jason said something about that. I'm not saying that. It is a sweet and dear thing to God Almighty when he sees a broken and contrite heart. And in that moment, somebody comes and says, call upon the name of the Lord. Save me. Look at my sin. Save me. Do your work in me, please. Plead that the work of God does that work in your heart. And then cry out to him. And then watch that fruit in your life. Father, we struggle with some of these concepts, not understanding fruit, but understanding the reality of what that means spiritually in us in relationship to you and your kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to trust the words of Jesus, who is the King of the kingdom, and his warnings for us to not continue in our religiousness, not to continue with these concepts of earning our salvation, not to continue in ways of earning your love based on our actions and what our merit might be, but thank you for the gospel. It was done by the merits of Jesus. His death on the cross. His fulfilling of the law. And so, Father, by the work that only you can do, we pray that you would do that work in our hearts. For some today, that needs to be being born again. Not of flesh, but of the Spirit. So, Lord, please do that work. I pray that there would be some who would call out to you today and that they would repent. And how glorious that is, Lord, that you've said when that happens, from that person will come fruit. And that as you work in them, they will be able to work for you and there will come a harvest out of their lives. That'll look like Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to stop playing church and start being the church. We pray that in this very congregation that we would submit to the King, that what he says we will do, and we will believe, and we will trust. We pray, Lord, that in all these things, you would be glorified. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we close today, we'll close in song. This is a great opportunity for the people of God to sing out. Now, we could sing and just sing the song. As you sing to your Savior, and the praises of his people are a great fruit, that out of our mouths would flow what he has done in our hearts. Worship team, would you come?
As we're getting ready, I just want to say something real quick. I just had my birthday is August 7th, 1965 is when I was born, but just this past week, it's been in my mind because June 3rd, 1984 is when that actual experience that Brother Jason was talking to us about. And when they were talking about anybody have any joys or concerns, that was one of my joys this past week, but I don't know why I just didn't raise my hand and say it. But I'm thankful to the Lord that I mean, it was out in the woods right after I joined the military. Just brand new, my first station in Delaware. And I wasn't expecting it. Someone invited me to church, and I know what I had dealt with my whole life. But a guy went, he showed me the scriptures, and he took me out to the middle of the woods. You know, that was after a Sunday morning service that he invited me to. And I was out there, and I was just praying to God, and I repented of my sins out there. And I felt the beauty and the power of Jesus there. And this whole thing that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about, it was so, you know, Nicodemus was a very knowledgeable man, and he just did not understand. But that experience that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about happened to me. Yeah. And I was so thankful. I mean, Mike was just a crazy guy in high school. I mean, Jesus was not in my mind, you know. I did drugs, like chasing girls, all kinds of stuff, just doing what young people do. But he visited me, and I could feel him there in front of me, just like I'm talking to you guys right now. And I was so apologetic and felt all that sin on my back and on my shoulders. And I told him I was sorry. And after, you know, I was bawling like a baby. And then, but I could feel him forgive me. I can feel that his presence there and his forgiveness. And I was so happy. And when I came out of that, I was a new creature. I was a new guy. Things that I thought about before, I wasn't thinking anymore. My conversations, if I was cussing or not liking people, that changed. You know, just my whole view of everything. And I'm just thankful for that experience. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jason, for talking to us about that. That whole experience. And I just want to say to you, Jesus loves you. And it doesn't have to be in a church that you repent and have that experience with Jesus. It could be out there in a cornfield while you're irrigating. It could be you driving down the road. Make sure you pull over, because there could be some tears in your eyes when you have that communication with the Lord. He loves you. And it doesn't matter what you've done in life, take it to him, and he will forgive you. And he will wash you, fill you with his Spirit, just like they did in the book of Acts. You read that book of Acts, people were infilled with the Spirit. They didn't just feel him. They were filled up with Jesus. And that's what he's looking for today.